Welcome, welcome to another episode of Resilience is My Beauty with yours truly, Tawanta J. What's going on, family? How are you all doing? Oh my goodness, Happy New Year to every single one of you all. Oh my gosh, you know what's up. Come on in the room. Go ahead and get yourself together, get yourself comfortable. I want you to go ahead and grab you something to drink. And once you've done that, come on in our special place. Have a sit down. Get yourself relaxed. Prop your feet up. Let's go. Take a deep breath in. Exhale slow. Yeah. Take a deep breath in. And exhale slow. Happy New Year! What's going on, family? Oh my goodness. Welcome, welcome, welcome to a brand new year. Baby, you made it. You made it. Praise the Lord. We made it. Oh my goodness. Well, I am so glad to be here. I'm so glad to be with you all. And I hope you all had a phenomenal Christmas, a blessed, blessed holiday. And I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, y'all, as we all should give thanks. But I hope you guys had a great New Year, a New Year's Eve. Some of you probably went to watch night service. And if you don't know what that is, watch night service is basically where we all go to our church and, you know, and we celebrate and we give God thanks and, you know, just to see another year and, you know, the minister blesses us with a word from God and just being thankful, you know, just being grateful and thankful and just to take that word and allow it to saturate in our spirit and our hearts and, you know, so we can just move on towards what the new year and what the new week and the new day, you know, will bring, will present to us. Listen, y'all, 2021 is gone. There's no need to think about it no more. There's no need to dwell on it anymore. We are in a new year on a new day. This day that is one of a kind. This day that is unique from all the other days that you previously experienced or had, right? So we're going to make the best of this new day. It's January 1st, 2022. Wow. You know, real quick before I get into my topic, man, I go back in time for a minute, just for a minute. And I remember back in the day, in the early 80s, mid 80s, I would say. And that's when I was in high school. I want to say maybe roughly around maybe 85, 86, coming towards my senior year in 87. And I remember my best friend at the time and I, we used to talk about, you know, how our life was going to be in the next 20 years and 30 years and 40 years. And at that time, you know, if I remember correctly, this has been a long time, but I remember they used to talk about on the news about 40 years from now will be like in the 21st century or whatever. And how things will probably be much different. You know, we'll probably be driving cars that's electronic and things will be different in terms of space and all of that stuff. So it kind of creeped me out a little bit, you know. And back then, my friend and I, we used to play this game. It was a game that was real popular around during that time with my peers. And I can't remember that game to save my life. But we'll put our hands down on a piece of paper and we trace our hand. And then for each finger, we put, if I remember, we put down, you know, the numbers. We just randomly pick a number. And then we pick out a guy's name. And then we put, you know, I think our occupation or something. I forgot how that thing went. But we would play this game. And I don't even know how it started, man. It was just so vague. The bits and pieces was just it's not coming to me. But I remember that part of it and how my sister friend and I, we would just laugh, you know, we would crack up and we were like, oh my God, I think this has always been my dream to marry so-and-so or my high school sweetheart or whatever, you know, and that we have 5 kids and, you know, 30 years from now, we're going to be, you know, successful and all these things. But we add those numbers like 30 years and 20 years. And mind you, this is like in 1986, 87 now. And you think about 30, 40 years from now, and then you add it up and it's like, oh my God, we're going to be in the year 2000 and whatever, you know what I'm saying? Or 40 years. And it's like, will we be alive then? You know? And we like, man, 2002. Oh my God, that sounds so far away. So, you know, sounded like we're going to be in space by that time. You know, we were just being kids, you know, and just reflecting and laughing and all of that. And here we are. Here we are. It's the year 2022. Man, oh man, oh man. I never would have assumed that I was going to live that long. And I'm here. I'm here, you know, and that's something, y'all, we cannot dare take for granted. This is something, y'all, we just cannot. You cannot just go by this, let this day slip by your fingers and not really, really reflect on the goodness of God that He has allowed you to see another year. Another year, okay? My goodness. And you pray that He'll let you live to see many more. But this year, this day is very, very important and very, very special. And I'm just so grateful, man. I'm so thankful to see another year, another day. Because yeah, man, guess what? We lost a queen last night. We lost a beautiful queen, and she was about 2 weeks away to turn 100 years old. And that's Miss Betty White. Wow. My goodness. Isn't that something? Because recently, I saw her name, you know, surfacing on social media, you know, on Facebook and I think just she was being interviewed or something. You know, I didn't actually read the article until, of course, yesterday. And I think, you know, people were just asking her about, I'm assuming they were asking her about, you know, you're soon to reach 100 years old. You know, you know, I guess they're asking her general questions. So what do you think about that or whatever the case may be? And I didn't really, you know, at that time, I didn't take the time out to really want to know what she was going to say. It's just the fact that she was just going to be 100 years old. I was like, wow, you know, and just to see her, you know, where she was in her life. I mean, she looked fabulous, you know, at the age of 99. My Lord, she didn't even look 99. You know what I mean? She just looked absolutely great. I guess that was the current picture, a recent picture of her. But regardless, that picture was recent or was maybe a few years old, it doesn't matter. She was still in her 90s and she looked absolutely fabulous. But to find out that she didn't make it to 100 years old, I was just completely in shock. I was like, wow, she didn't make it. But she lived a beautiful life. She lived a full life. She lived a happy life in terms of her being very funny and, you know, Betty being Miss Betty. And, you know, I followed this lady all through the course of my living, you know, because I grew up watching her and, you know, in the show that she was in back in the 70s. And I remember her marrying her husband at the time, and that was her true love. And, you know, she was very, very committed to animals and all of those things. I remember her doing, you know, commercials and stuff like that, and in support of, you know, taking care of animals and all those things. So I followed Miss Betty through the course of my life, you know, growing up and everything. And, you know, even of course the show of all shows, The Golden Girls. How about that? Who remember The Golden Girls, right? Man, oh man, that show still tickles me every now and then when I watch it, right? But yeah, man, I mean, now they are all together, you know, the Golden Girls are together at last, you know. And so, yeah, it was very sad to hear Miss Betty didn't make it to 100. But you know what? We are here. And we should not take this day for granted. And I won't say that Miss Betty took her life for granted. I don't believe she did. She lived her life to the fullest. I really believe Miss Betty took the day and she did not waste the day. You know what I'm saying? We don't know what her health was at the time. We don't know, you know, if she was really going through some physical issues. Nobody knew that, of course. You know, we just took what we saw through social media. We saw the pictures of her. You know, we didn't see a live feed of her or anything. So we really don't know, you know, what her health was like prior. We just went based on what was documented, you know, via social media and all those things. But at the end of the day, you know, we just have the memories of her. We have, you know, the joy of her. We have, you know, the funny moments, you know, funny conversations with her. You know, we just have those sweet memories of this beautiful woman. And I pray, God, that, you know, that she, you know, knew God and she knew the Lord and she had, you know, invited God into her heart and that she's with him, you know, for eternity. You know what I mean? I pray that that is where she is, you know, and that she is truly, truly excited to finally be in her heavenly home. Right. But for now, we are here and we need to actually, you know, take what Miss Betty truly did leave behind. And that is to enjoy life to the fullest, to not get all caught up in the drama of success or the drama of life, you know, because she was, you know, Miss Betty was just she was a global star. She was a global woman. People know Miss Betty all over the world, right? They knew her all over the world, right? And yes, of course, through all of the fame and the you know, the stardom and all of that, yeah, she had a life. You know, she had her good days, she had her bad days, right? As we all do, you know, but she found a way to enjoy life and to enjoy life to the fullest, to enjoy life to it overflowed. And we saw that, you know, when she was on TV, on the game shows, you know, and through her interviews or what have you, we saw her and she just enjoyed herself. She always had a smile on her face. Now, that doesn't always mean that she was always completely happy. You know, she probably was going through some things when she was being interviewed or when she was on a game show or whatever the case may be. We really don't know her story. We really don't know what she had to struggle with or what she had to endure. But I guarantee you, though, she found a way to not allow those issues or those problems to, you know, to compete with her, to dominate her, to have her to look at her life as a failure or any of that magnitude. And even her getting at age, she didn't allow, you know, society to tell her that she was done, you know, that she was just too old. You know, this woman still kept working her business. You see what I'm saying? Miss Betty was still acting. Hello, y'all remember that? Miss Betty didn't dare allow her age, you know, her mobility, you know, to stop her doing what she loved to do. And that was to entertain. That was to put joy in people's life and people's through people's television. You know what I'm saying? This woman kept doing what she had to do until her last breath. Hello, right? Miss Betty kept doing what she needed to do, and she did not allow anything or anybody, even herself for that matter, to stop what she was called to do. There's some things I believe Miss Betty had to remove out of her life, remove out of her house, you know, to just say enough is enough. She shut that door and she just lived. Hello, she lived. She started a fresh, clean slate, and she kept it moving, right? She kept it moving, right? And so we just need to truly just thank God for Miss Betty. Thank God for all that she had produced, what she had created, what she left behind. She left a beautiful warm, powerful legacy. And I think we all just need to reflect on that and just, you know, and just say thank God for Miss Betty's gifts. Thank God for Miss Betty's wisdom, you know, and not even just her, but all those individuals that went on before her. And even people in your life, in your family that passed on as well. They may not have reached 100. They may not have reached a certain milestone in their life, but where they lived, they succeeded. You know what I'm saying? They lived the full life, you know? And we all need to be grateful and thankful for the legacy that they left behind. And they will want us to continue to move forward and to live, you know, our lives and live each day to the fullest. Just like Miss Betty did. She did it with a smile. She did it with laughter. She did it with a joke. You know what I'm saying? She didn't take life seriously. She did not take the issues. She didn't, you know, not saying that she totally ignored them, but she did not allow it to manifest in her life, in her heart, in her soul, right? She just lived her life. And so, you know, thank God for Miss Betty. So I hope today, guys, that, you know, January 1st will be a new beginning for you to live your life to the fullest and to not dare look back, to not dare allow the day to go by and not enjoy it the way God wants you to enjoy it. This is the day that the Lord has made. What we're going to do, we shall rejoice, right, and be glad in it. Okay, don't make it as a cliche statement. Just live, not just say it, but be a doer of it. You know what I'm saying? Be a doer of it. Be glad. Rejoice in this day. This is a powerful day. This is a rich day. This is a gifted day. And we need to take full advantage of the gifts, of the day, of the blessings, of His grace and His mercy, and the favor that God has bestowed on our life today. And not just this day, but the days to come. Yes. If you want 2022 to be the best year ever, then honey, you need to be the one to initiate that. You need to be the one to make the day the best day ever. So the course of this new year, that this year will be the best year ever. Okay? It's up to you. You got to make that choice. You got to make that choice. Yes, choices. That's a hard thing for a lot of us to do because we're not prepared for change. When it comes to making a choice, that means we got to make a change. And a lot of us are not ready to make a change. We don't feel comfortable in making a change because it requires movement. It requires, you know, stepping into the unknown. But you know what? That's okay because God, He already knows. Hello? He already knows. So what He knows, you do not need to be afraid because where He's going to place you is safety anyway. Come on with it. It's safety anyway. He has already ordered our steps. He has already blocked what the enemy was trying to set up for you. Yeah, he may go ahead and prepare the trap, but that trap is not going to be activated, you know, towards you. He's going to get trapped in his own devices, right? Because God has already blocked it. He's already blocked it for you, beloved. So yeah, you just keep on moving forward. You go ahead and keep on believing that God has some great things in store for your life. Miss Betty moved forward, honey. Despite of whatever ailment, whatever issues, physical, financial, whatever that she endured through the course of her life on this earth, Miss Betty did not allow those things to stop her or block her. It may slow her down a bit now. It may slow her down, but she still kept moving though. Hello? She kept moving. Yes, she did. She kept on going now, right? And we need to do the same. You know, and some things may slow us down physically, emotionally, or financially, or whatever, but we got to keep on moving, baby. We got to keep on ticking, baby. We got to keep on marching, sugar. You got to keep moving. Yes, Lordy, we got to keep it going, honey. Don't let anything or anybody, including yourself, stop you from moving forward and to embrace this gift of life. Whew, I tell you, Miss Betty lived a good life. Yes, she did. She lived a great life. Who wants to reach 99? You know, and when she passed away, I remember this old gospel song, 99 and a half won't do, you know, and I was like, wow, she was so close, you know, 99 and a half won't do, you know, but you know what? I'm just grateful for her life. I'm grateful that she lived a powerful, beautiful life, man, to be 99, to even to make it to 100. And you know what? There's another person. Another great producer, writer, director. And we all know him because he was in our homes through television ever since we were young. And as a matter of fact, about a few weeks prior, he was on television on ABC, where a couple of the shows that he written and produced came on live, and it was The Facts of Life and Different Strokes. You remember? And it was the great Norman Lear. Y'all remember Norman Lear? Man, oh man, that brother is 99 today. Come on. Well, I mean, today's not his birthday, but at this state where he is right now, he's almost reaching 100 years old. Come on. And if y'all have seen Mr. Norman Lear, he don't even look 99. What? I mean, he look like he's like in his 80s, you know, like in his late 70s, 80s. You know what I mean? I'm like, dude, what's up with that? He looks fantastic. What? I didn't even know Norman was that old. I really didn't know. I knew at this time, but when he, when they did the, All in the Family, y'all remember the All in the Family, and they told him, they mentioned his age then, you know, I was shocked. I was like, wait, what? He's 90. What? And I'm looking at him with his little hat on his head, and he crossing his leg and everything. I was like, what? Wow. Wow. That is amazing. And you know, that's just bring hope to me, because I had talked to God a long time ago. And I said, Lord, I want to outlive my great aunt Weeza, who lived to be 104, to the point that, you know, it was such a milestone of her age that she was in the newspaper back home in Georgetown, South Carolina. Yes, she was. I came across that when my beloved aunt, my Aunt Betty, when she passed away this past year, and we were, you know, at her house, and, you know, my cousins, my Aunt Betty's children and everything, we all were, you know, looking at photos, because Aunt Betty, she kept a lot of photos, and surprisingly, she even kept some articles and stuff that, wow, I didn't even know, you know, existed, articles of our beloved family members, you know, and one of them was my Aunt Weeza, and she was in the newspaper because she was celebrating her birthday. And I think, if I remember, I think it was at the age of 102 or 103 or somewhere in that ballpark figure. And it was a big thing at that time, you know, especially in the small town of Georgetown, South Carolina, you know, or any village, I would say. It was just amazing just to see that. And I had been praying to God, you know, especially after my mom had passed. I was like, Lord, I want to outlive my mom. I want to outlive past the age of when my Aunt Weeza was, you know, 104, and still be, you know, spunky and, you know, still be on fire. You know, she was just a cute little old lady, and she just kept on doing her thing. You know, she lived by the lake. If I remember, years ago, I was a little girl, my stepfather and her they got along so well, and they went fishing together. Every time we went down south, my stepfather would stop by Weeza's house, and she would be so overjoyed to see my stepdad, and they would go ahead and go fishing together, and she walked. She didn't have a car or nothing. My Aunt Weeza would go ahead and walk, honey. She had no problem. She'd been doing that most of her life. And she would just go ahead and just be so happy and say, "Ooh, praise the Lord. How you doing, baby? How you doing?" Oh, my my goodness, she was just a joy to be around, man. And I was saying, Lord, I want to live like that. I want to live past 100 years of age. I want to see my children. I want to bless my children's children, children, children. I want to see the dreams of what they want pursued in life to come to fruition, you know. But I still want to be, I want to still be mobile. I still want to be active. I still want to do some great things in the community, in the church, or whatever the case may be. I don't want to be in no wheelchair. I'm listen, hey, come on now. I'm just keeping it real. Listen, if you have Miss Betty White and you have Norman Lear and you have anybody else that you know in your family that is still walking and talking and breathing and they still moving around like they 50 years old, come on with it. I don't see anything wrong telling God, hey, Lord, I want to keep on walking. I want to keep on talking. I want to still be able to be mobile even when I am 102 or 100 or 104. Hello, come on with it. I still won't look fly. Hello. Come on with it. You know, this is my time. You know, me and God have our conversation together. This is what I be talking to God about. And whatever I ask God, I know it's going to come to pass. God delay his coming. Yes, I want to live that long, healthy, fruitful, abundant Zoe life. You know what I'm saying? And I truly believe God is going to honor that for me, you know? And I got to do my part too. Come on with it. I got to do my part as we all should, you know, taking care of my body, taking care of what I put in my body. Got to be, you know, got to be aware of those things too. Because we may ask God, you know, to preserve our life and he will do that. You know, God will honor his part, but we got to do our part too, right? But yeah, man, I'm just so grateful for, you know, the memories and the of my loved ones that surpassed the age, you know, and Miss Betty and Mr. Norman Lear. Thank God he's still with us, you know, and all the others out there that are, you know, that are in that stage of their life that are still with us. You may have family relatives that's in their 90s or that's actually now living in their hundreds. Come on. And they are still here. You better thank God for that, man. That's something to look forward to. You know what I'm saying? After all we have endured from the time you were young up to this point, you better give God praise. You better thank him. There's no reason why you cannot say, God, I'm grateful. I'm thankful for my life. That's the first thing. That is the first thing you should open up your mouth to say to God. God, I thank you for my life. I thank you for breathing life in me. I thank you, Lord, for, you know, taking care of my body while I rested last night. You were the surgeon. You did some miraculous things through my body while I rested last night. Because I always say, God, thank you for healing my body. Lord, I thank you for you know, being the surgeon and fixing my heart or fixing my arteries or fixing my blood cells or whatever. I ask God to do those things for me. Come on with it. You know what I'm saying? Because there's people who went to sleep and they never woke up. Come on now. There's people who went to sleep in pain and they never woke up. You know what I'm saying? So God woke you up this morning and you need to give him praise. You need to say, God, I thank you for being my doctor in the midnight hour while I rested. Thank you, Lord, for, you know, for taking the pain away. Thank you, God, for even despite how bad the pain was, it was like an 8 and a 9. But yet I had the medication. I took the medication. Yet you gave me a peaceful rest. You know, and when he opened up my eyes, you know, when he opened up your eyes, that pain was still there, but it wasn't as intense as the night before because God is doing it. He is working it. Okay. You know what I'm saying? A lot of us, we take life for granted. We take life for granted. We take our limbs for granted. You know, there's people who are not able to walk, to get up out the bed and literally stand up on their own 2 feet. You know what I'm saying? There are veterans who fought battle for us. They left here with limbs and they came back without them. You know, thank God they're still here. But the challenges that they have to endure on a daily basis, right? And here we are walking and prancing and talking and moving and flipping and all this stuff. And we don't realize the value of what we got until it's gone. So no, babies, you cannot allow this day to go by without thanking God for your limbs, your fingers, your toes, your calves. You better thank God for your knees. Yeah, it may crack and snap and all this stuff. Well, I don't mean snap in a bad way, but you know what I'm trying to say. You may have that moment, but you better be thanking God that you still got your knees. Hello, okay? You better be thanking God that you still got it. You better thank God that you still got, you can still wiggle. You can wiggle your toes. You can wiggle your fingers. You may have a little bit of pain, a little bit of this every now and then, but you better thank God you still got it, baby. Come on with it. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad. We're going to rejoice and be thankful. We're going to rejoice and give God praise for what he has already established in our life right now, at this moment, at this very hour. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Yeah. You know, Thanksgiving may have passed, but it's still a day of giving thanks. Come on with it. Thanksgiving, the festivities, the turkey, the sweet potato pies, and all of that may have come and gone, but today is the day of giving thanks. In spite of all the circumstances that you may be enduring right now, that you're dealing with right now, baby, you better give him thanks. This is the day to give thanks. This is the day to worship. This is the day to give him praise. This is the day to clap your hands. This is the day to stomp your feet. This is the day to open up your mouth and say something. Open up your mouth and say something. Say something good. Don't say something bad. Don't say something negative. Don't bring that garbage in this new year. This is a brand new, fresh, clean cut. Yeah. Hello. So don't you dare contaminate it by bringing all the gunk and the garbage. You know what I'm saying? No. Don't do that, sugar. Don't do that to yourself. This is a new day. This is a brand new day, a fresh new day, a clean day, a clean slate to start all new. Come on with it. So let me get down to the topic at hand, because God is just working this thing. I don't even have a script here. You know I don't have a script. I just speak from my heart. But what I really wanted to talk to you guys about is sweeping it out the door. Sweep it out the door, right? You know, and I'm going to talk about it real quick. Now, I remember growing up back in the day where my mother and I, we used to travel down south. And, you know, and I remember going down to Annie Village. That's the community, you know, where, you know, my family and friends and relatives hang out or lived or what have you. And I remember, you know, as a kid, well, we go by the road, we drive in the, you know, driving down the road or whatever. And I remember seeing some friends and family, you know, just out and about cleaning their property and stuff like that. And they will be sweeping. You know, they'd be sweeping their property and all those things of that nature, right? And I even remember, going in the house and whatnot, and how, you know, my aunties and my great aunts and whatnot, they'd be, you know, fixing up the house and putting stuff away and everything, and they get the broom and they, you know, start sweeping around the house and everything, you know, anything of it, whatever. But what was so peculiar to me was that they would go outside. You know, they would go outside, still sweeping now. They'd go outside, you know, on their porch and start sweeping the dust and everything. And even what they had swept on the inside of their house, they carry it over past the threshold. And they will keep on sweeping. They go on the porch and they sweep underneath their rocking chair, whatever they had out there, you know. And they will go ahead on the steps and they will sweep, to sweep the dust off. They didn't have a dustpan or anything. They had one, but they didn't use it. You know what I'm saying? And I was just trying to, you know, as a little kid, I was like, well, why they do that? Why they sweep outside? You know, aren't they bringing more dirt in? You know, in my little head, I didn't know. You know what I'm saying? But that's what they used to do. They used to go out and they would sweep outside the threshold, right? And then when they were done, they would come in and they would shut their screen door. You know, especially if it was warm outside, they would shut their screen door or their front door, whatever. And they look at the results of their work. It's clean. Everything is put away. You know, they may have added a new decor, a new, a new home decor item or whatever, you know, but at the end of the day, everything was clean. The floor was swept. Some even mopped it. You know what I mean? And that house smelled good. It smelled fragrant. Whether they had cooked a pie or baked a cake or they just had something there to make it smell so sweet. You know what I'm saying? And man, it just looks so nice. But as I got older, I just dawned on it this morning. I actually did. I dawned on it this morning. And I was like, wow, sweep it out the door. And I was like, you know what, God, that's what we need to be doing. This is the time we need to start sweeping stuff out the door. Because if you really think about it, all that hard work that my aunties and my family members did to keep their home looking good and keep it clean, they didn't want to bring the residue of the past back into their home. They didn't want to bring back that dirt. They didn't want to bring back the arguments. They didn't want to bring back the disorder. They didn't want to bring back the confusion. So what they did once and for all, they decided instead of just sweeping in-house and just getting the dustpan and throw it in the trash. No, they said, no, I want it out of my house altogether. I want it out of my house past the threshold. Out of the door once and for all, because once I shut my door, it would never be in my house again. It would never enter in my house again. I am done with the past. I am done with the garbage. I am done with the filth. I am done with the pain. I am done with the disorder. I am done with the confusion. I am done with the abuse. I am done. I am done. So I'm sweeping it out the door. I'm sweeping it out the house. I'm sweeping it out my life. Come on with it. I'm sweeping it out because it's never coming back in my house. Because as soon as my aunties and my cousins and them sweep that door and they're done, they go ahead and immediately shut the door. They shut the door because they didn't want no residue, no particle, nothing to come back in their house. After all they had to go through to get that house back in order, after all they had to go through to make sure that everything was put back in its place, they like, I'm not bringing this mess in. And that's why some people now, they were like, if you coming in, you got to take your shoes off. Or if you coming in, make sure you wipe your feet on the mat, you know, because I don't want no track on my floor. Cause I clean my floor. You hear me? I mop my floor. You hear me? Like even today, you know, some people, you know, for me, you know, I was raised in that type of setup, if you will. But, you know, I don't have no problem with people coming in my house, you know, with the shoes on, whatever. Now, if it's snowing or it's raining or something, that's different because, yeah, it will track on my floor because I got hardwood floors. But at the end of the day, you know, if it's a nice day or whatever, no, you don't have to take your shoes off. You're good or whatever the case may be, right? But then I started to really ponder on this thing. And I'm, while I'm talking to you guys, I'm actually thinking about it more and more in depth. Like, you don't want what you throw out to come back in. You don't want what you throw out to come back in your house. After what you endured, after what you dealt with, and here's the thing. Not only is it surfaced on your floor, but you are inhaling the dirt. You are inhaling, you know, the poison. You are inhaling. That stuff is getting into your system. It's getting into your mindset, okay? It is getting into your thinking. It's starting to mess with your senses, right? You know, there's a thing called a humidifier. You know, people have a hard time sleeping at night. You know what I'm saying? You need that air. You need that humidifier to add moisture to the air so you can be able to sleep better. Your nostrils won't feel so congested or won't get congested and all that stuff. So that humidifier helps moisten the air and all of those things and whatnot and help to remove some of the dust particles or whatever that's floating around in your room or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And you need that to help you sleep and all those things, to help you to breathe and whatnot. But you know what? We have a humidifier. We have the Holy Spirit. We have him to take care of what is flowing and floating around our heads while we rest at night. He is the one that will give us the sweet rest, you know, that sweet, blissful sleep. He's the one that will breathe, you know, in us, right? He will clear out what's been floating in the atmosphere for us, right? He's the one that will do it for us. And how he will activate on that is when we go in prayer mode. How many of you from old school, because I'm raised in the old school. I'm raising from that old culture, whereas that you will get your oil and you will go ahead and start putting the oil on your threshold, on the doorknobs, on the bedposts, wherever it is, you go ahead and put that oil and you rebuke the enemy. You get him out your house. How many of you still do that? How many of you remember that from back in the day? How many of you do? Because I remember that. Okay. Now, I can't say my mom used to do it all the time. She may have done it maybe a couple of times. I don't know. But I didn't see her do it. I'm keeping it real. I didn't see her do it. That doesn't mean that she didn't love the Lord. It doesn't mean that she didn't believe that the devil was real. No. She just didn't do it actively, you know, as she should have. Right. But I do remember that from my relatives, from my aunties, from my great aunts, from the people that was closest in my life. I saw them do that. You know what I'm saying? And that God dropped it in my spirit a while back. And so I kept that. I said, oh yeah, we're gonna get some things out of this house today. Cause I'm sick of this. I'm sick of this confusion. I'm sick of inhaling this poison. Oh yeah, we're gonna have a warfare. We're gonna fight today, devil, because you are not going to come in my house and cause this chaos and go rush out all over the place. No, you're not. This is my house. And in this house, we serve the Lord. Come on with it. Now, for some of y'all, that might be a little too deep. Well, I'm sorry, you know, because if you got too much hell going on, you're going to have to do something. I refuse to allow this day or this year, for that matter, to be compromised, you know, with the enemy's tactics and confusion and nastiness. Oh, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. So, yes, I'm going to get the oil and I will go ahead and put the oil on the threshold of my doors, on the doorknobs and on the bedroom posts, even in my daughter's rooms. Come on with it. I am not playing. Right? So, yeah, we allow the Holy Spirit to go ahead and be the vacuum. Let him be the vacuum and go ahead and suck up all of the stuff that the enemy left behind. Come on with it. Woo! Come on with it. Because when you walk into your home, when you walk past that threshold and you close the door after having a long day at work or wherever you're coming from, you come into a sanctuary that is clean, a sanctuary that has been prayed up on, a sanctuary that is full of peace and serenity because you got the Holy Spirit that took complete control over your house. Come on with it. That's something you got to do. That's something you have to do on a daily basis. Now, listen, y'all. I know some of you probably going to step into something new, something different this year. You know what I mean? And you're going to go ahead and take full authority and use the oil and all of that. And that's how you do it, boo. But don't let it be this one time only thing. You do it often. You do it as you need to do. Okay? Well, you see what I'm saying? Because I grew up in that kind of generation where the mothers of the church did not play. They did it as often as necessary. They did it in-house and they did it out the house. And meaning they did it in the church and they did it outside. They did it in their homes as well. They didn't play that. They didn't take that thing for granted. They took care of business. You hear what I'm saying? And we got to do that too, y'all, because we are in a spiritual warfare right now. We are in a spiritual warfare. And we cannot continue to sit here and act like nothing is going on. No, we got to rebuke some things. Come on with it now. We cannot continue to sit here. Come on. God has given us full authority. We are supposed to use what he has given us. And open up your mouth and say something. Open up your mouth and speak to the devil. Open up your mouth and use the scriptures against the devil. That's what Jesus did when he was sitting up on the mount. And that's what Jesus did when the devil came in, not once, not twice, but three times. Trying to tempt Jesus. And Jesus came back with the word of God, honey. You come on with it now. Jesus left a powerful blueprint for us to follow. And we as the body of Christ, we need to do the same exact thing. So yes, sweep it out the door. Take that broom, honey, and go ahead and sweep all the garbage, sweep all the gunk. And I see why my aunties and my friends and family, my relatives, did not put the dust back in the garbage, because it was still in house. It was still in the house. No, they want it out completely. So instead of them putting it in the garbage can, they took it out the door and they swept it and swept it and swept it and swept it until it was gone. I mean, some even will go ahead and go sweep down those steps. And when they get down to the foundation, do they get to the ground? They will even sweep the sidewalk. How many of you saw that? How many remember people doing that? Some people will sweep the sidewalk. And people make drive by or walk by and be like, well, why is she sweeping the sidewalk? Oh, Lord, she must be going through. No, she ain't going through. Mother knows exactly what she's doing. Because we don't know what she had to endure, you know, behind them doors. We don't know what kind of mess, what kind of garbage, what kind of gunk, what kind of filth, what kind of drama that mother had to endure during those times. So mother made a decision. She said, you know what? I'm going to sweep my stuff out. I'm going to sweep this garbage out. But I'm not going to sweep it in-house. I'm going to sweep it out of my house. And it's getting off my property. Yes, yes, yes. I truly believe that. Because see, here's the thing. When you finally go into the house, how many of you remember you go walk into your auntie's house, especially those you haven't seen in a minute, but you finally walk into the house and you love that. You just walk into this warmness. You know, the atmosphere is so beautiful. It's just so calming and everything is nice and it's clean and it's something different about the presence of their home, right? Do y'all remember that back in the day, especially growing up as kids and stuff? And that was your favorite place, your favorite place to go to, right? Your auntie's house or your great aunt or your cousin. And their house was always in mint condition. But they always were funny, though. They always said, oh, child, I didn't even clean my house today. Ooh, child. Oh, well, thank you, girl. I still got some stuff to take care of. You know, but like, well, my auntie, I don't know what you got to take care of, but it sure looks good and it smells good too and all that stuff. Baby, they had to do some serious thorough cleaning. You know what I'm saying? They had to do some serious thorough cleaning, and not just the physical cleaning, but God took care of the spiritual cleaning as well. You know what I'm saying? Because mother went in prayer mode while she was cleaning out the closet or cleaning out the desk or whatever she was doing. She was wiping it down with Windex, whatever she was doing. She went in prayer mode. She had her music on the background and she and Jesus just having a good time. And she's speaking the blood of Jesus over some things. She's speaking those things that be not as though they were. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going based on my history. I'm going based on the powerful legacy that was left behind for me. I remember this stuff growing up for my great aunts and my aunties and my cousins. Okay, I remember this stuff. Okay, and that's still festered in my spirit. And so I'm doing the same thing. I'm starting little by little. But you best believe that when I kick that stuff out my house, it is out my house, because I am not going to allow this year to be contaminated by the enemy from anybody. I ain't got time for that. That's why I go in my prayer mode. That's why I use the holy oil. That's why I go ahead and plead the blood of Jesus over my children's bedpost. Okay, I'm not playing. Because see, our kids, when they walk out this door, they enter into this world of wolves. They enter into the world of people that are not saved. They don't even know God. Shoot, they don't even think God exists. Heck, they don't even think the devil exists. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, our kids got to stay covered up, prayed up, okay, saturated up, you know? And I ain't playing that game. I ain't got time for that. Shoot, it's one thing we got to deal with this COVID. It's another thing we got to deal with this Omicron. But it's another thing we got to deal with the devil. We got to deal with the devil's tactics. We got to deal with all kinds of temptations that these kids are, you know, that is covered in. You know what I'm saying? And of course, dealing with the social media things, all of the stuff that our kids are getting involved in. And thank God for my daughters that have discernment. They're still learning about it. Thank God that my daughters have the common sense to not enter into things that they sense in their spirit that is not right or not in order or not proper or not godly. Thank God that they walk away from that. But you know what? You still got to pray over your kids. You still got to pray over your daughters. You still got to pray over your sons. I don't care if they're 16. I don't care if they're 12. I don't care if they're 18 or 25. You still got to pray over them. Okay? You still got to do that, man. And not even that, you got to pray over your spouse. You got to pray over your husband. You got to pray over them. You got to keep them covered, because the temptation of this world, the pressure on this world, the pressure that they deal with on a daily basis to maintain the house, to maintain order, to pay for the bills, to find a way to take care of stuff. You know what I'm saying? That pressure is real. That pressure is real, y'all. And they may say some things that, you know, that can be very discouraging. But we as the helpmate, the helpmeet, we got to speak against that. We got to encourage our husbands and say, no, God got you. God instilled greatness in you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they may get on your nerve. They may still get on your nerve. They still irritate you and all of that. But hey, forget that, because God had put you in ministry mode. And you better utilize that, and you better speak all over that. Speak to him. Speak to him about what God is doing and what God will continue to do on his behalf, on our behalf. What may seem impossible to the physical, it is not impossible for God. God can do all things. God is the creator. He is the one that can change the heart of man. Come on with it. So yes, my beloveds, you better sweep things out the door. This is the new year that God has granted us with. And every single day that God wakes us up, you better start sweeping things out your door. And not just the physical door, the physical threshold, but also in your spirit. Start sweeping things out of your mind. Start sweeping things out of your heart. You know, because that is your home right there. The heart is your home. And you need to start speaking things out of your heart, out of your mind, by using the word of God. Let the word of God be that vacuum. Let the word of God be that broom. Let that word of God be the sanitizer. Come on with it. Let that word clean you out so you could have a fresh mind, right? Your heart will be pure so God can enter in and he can show you some things. He can reveal some things, because there won't be no blockage this time. There will be no disorder this time. There will be nothing to distract you this time. Right? That's why he said, you know, we got to start have a renewal of the mind. We got to start renewing our mind, y'all. Not just when things are hard, but even on the good days, every single day. Ask God to renew your mind, to renew your senses. Ask God to clean out all of the gunk that is kept hidden, that you put in the back of your noggin for too long. Now it's time to do a major cleanup. It's time to do a major sweep. Yes. Sweep it out the door. Sweep it out your life. Sweep it out your heart. Sweep it out your mind, right? And while you resting after all what you have put forth, let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Let the Holy Spirit neutralize what the enemy left behind. Woo! Come on. Let him take care of that. What you can't see in the physical, let the Holy Spirit deal with it in the spiritual realm. Hey, come on, somebody. You know what I'm saying? You better let him do it. So if you want 2022 to be the year for you, and I ain't do that, I ain't mean to say like a rhyme, because I ain't trying to rhyme. If you want 2022 to be the best year for you, then you need to go ahead and make this your priority and start sweeping out the stuff out the door. Sweep it out the door so you can live, you can breathe, you can just inhale and out, and have nothing to compromise that. And you can start seeing things clearly. You know, you can start seeing things differently now, because now you taking full advantage of this. You're not allowing this day to slip and go by, but now you are taking this day as if it's the last day of your life. But make this day the best day of your life, just like Miss Betty did, you know, just like all those that lived before us that has gone now. They lived their life and they lived it to the fullest, to their last breath. Listen, y'all, I hope that you have a great, phenomenal New Year's Day. Continue to enjoy the day. Continue to enjoy the blessings and the gifts that God has continued to throw at you. He's presented. He's a gentleman. He's presented it to you. He doesn't throw things at you. He just gives it to you with love, right? With adoration. Yes, yes. So take full advantage of the love that God has for you today and for your family. Enjoy your day, y'all. So we're going to close with this prayer. I'm totally excited as to what God has in store for this new year, for this podcast, for this ministry. Thank you for all of my beautiful people from all over the world. I pray that your new year's was amazing. It was phenomenal. Now get ready for the greatness of what God has in store for your life. So God, thank you for this, this platform. Thank you for this family. Thank you for this new year. Oh God, help us to truly embrace this new year, this new day, and all the days to come. Help us, oh Lord, to start sweeping out the dust, sweeping out the things that has caused too much strife in our life, that caused too much strain and pressure and depression and overwhelmness in our lives. Teach us, oh Lord, to cast all of that into your care. Why? Because you care for us. Why? Because you love us so deeply. Help us, oh Lord, to start looking at your love and not looking at the lost of things. Help us, oh God, to just truly just fall into your arms and rest into your arms, but not fall back into that bed of misery, not fall back into that bed of despair, but that we fall into your arms of peace and serenity and calmness and joy. Hallelujah. Yes, help us, oh Lord, to start looking at the new things that you are working on right now, not to go back in time, not to dwell on the past anymore, that right now you are working on a new thing. You're working on some things for us. Help us to get excited about that. Help us to truly embrace that moment that you are doing good things for us. You are building new things. You are creating new things for us. Teach us, oh Lord, to embrace this new life, this new opportunity of living, this new second chance of living. Teach us, oh Lord. Help us, oh Lord, to do better, to be better, to act better, to respond better to your word, to your calling, to what you have for us. Teach us, oh God, to just enjoy life and to enjoy it more abundantly. We give you praise. We thank you for this new year, because I truly believe that this year is going to be the best year ever for all of us. Even in spite of what is coming, the challenges that faces us, yet in spite of all, yet we still will give you praise. We still looking forward to what is to come. We give you praise today on this new year of 2022. We give you praise in Jesus' name.